For our exhortation this morning, before we confess our sins together, we're going to Psalm 51 once again. So please turn to Psalm 51 and we'll read verses 14 through 19. Beginning in verse 14. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. This is God's word. So we are continuing through Psalm 51 today, and we're coming to the verses 16 and 17, where David says, "You, Lord, do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You don't want my burnt offerings, but what you really want from me is this broken and contrite heart. That is the sacrifice that you desire." Now, at first, we must deal with a question that may come to your mind, because on one hand, David says, you don't desire these things, Lord, but then, well, the very last verse of the psalm says, you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. So clearly, David is not speaking in an absolute sense that there was to be no more blood sacrifices, that the entire old covenant system of sacrifices was overthrown. That's not what he's saying to us. He's saying something else here. What David is teaching us is that the Lord puts a priority upon our hearts. There's a priority given to the state of our hearts as we come before the Lord confessing our sins. And this basic pattern in the Old Testament is seen many times. I'll give you just a few examples of where the Lord is prioritizing obedience, prioritizing the heart of his people over the blood sacrifices that were to be brought. In 1 Samuel 15, you remember that Samuel says to Saul, "To obey is better than sacrifice." In Isaiah 1, the God despised the offerings of his people because they were brought by sinful, unrepentant hands. He says, "Your hands are full of blood. I don't want your sacrifices. Don't even bring them." In Psalm 40, sacrifice and offering God has not desired, David says, but God has desired that David do God's will, obedience. In Micah 6, Micah is actually speaking as the prophet, and he says, "Should I bring 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord? Would that be desirable?" And then he says, actually, the Lord has said, more importantly than 1,000 sacrifices, you need to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a higher priority than 1,000 burnt offerings. In Psalm 50, the people are rebuked for just bringing these sacrifices, but not coming with their hearts. And the Lord says, "Offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want that more than your animals." And so in all these examples, the Lord is not tossing out the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. It had a purpose that God had ordained. They didn't provide a real satisfaction for sin, but they did show God's people the debt that sin incurred. And it showed God's people how they needed a Savior to cover these sins, a final and a perfect sacrifice which was brought in Christ our Lord. So it taught the people that, but the Lord was putting a priority upon the heart. God said, "Yes, you can bring your sacrifices. I've given you a whole book. I've given you the book of Leviticus to tell you how to bring your blood sacrifices. But more than all that, I want your heart. Your heart is far more valuable than all those other things. And not just your heart, but a broken heart. A heart that is shattered to pieces by the weight of sin, humbled, deeply humbled by that awfulness of sin and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That is the heart that God desires. And so if our heart is missing as we come to worship, we sing the songs, we put our offering into the bucket as it passes. We do service for the Lord, and if in all of it our heart is missing, the Lord does not want our sacrifices. We could sign up for every single service opportunity in the church. We could outpace every other giver in the church. We could give more than anybody else gives. But if our hearts are far from God, He does not want our sacrifices. We don't come to the Lord and say, "Look, Lord, look at all the things I've done for you. Look at how hard I've worked for you." God replies and says, "Yes, but have you humbled yourself and repented of your sins? Do you come to my worship with gratitude? Have you obeyed my word?" So that is the warning given in verse 16. Then in verse 17, it describes the sacrifice that God desires. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This is the sacrifice that the Lord desires from you today. Not a heart of stone where the word of God comes and beats upon it and it just repels every single rebuke and correction of the word. Not a heart that hears the correcting counsels of God's word and just shrugs it off as if it doesn't matter. No, the Lord wants your heart broken, soft, humble, receptive. Listen to how Matthew Henry describes what this heart looks like. He says, "It is a heart breaking from its sin. It is a heart pliable to the word of God and patient under the rod of God. A heart subdued and brought into obedience. It is a heart that is tender like Josiah's and trembles at God's word." Now he goes on to point out how the sacrifices of the Old Testament, there was a three-step process for these sacrifices of animals. They were first bound, then they were bled, and then they were burnt. The same thing has to happen with our hearts. Here's what he says. The sacrifice was bound, was bled, was burnt. So the penitent heart is bound by convictions, bleeds in contrition, and then burns in holy zeal against sin and for God. The sacrifice was offered upon the altar that sanctified the gift, and so the broken heart is only acceptable through Jesus Christ. There's no true repentance without faith in Him, and this is the sacrifice which God will not despise. So he says, just like the animal had to be bound, bled, and burnt, so our hearts are bound, bled, and burnt, and then offered upon the altar. And the altar is Christ our Lord. He's the one that sanctifies this repentance that we bring before the Lord, because it's not as if our repentance merits our forgiveness. It doesn't. The only one who can repair our legal standing before God is Jesus Christ, the righteous. But the Lord does call us to repentance, and He receives our repentance as a pleasing sacrifice and forgives us through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. So may we come with these hearts today. May we pray for the work of the Spirit if this is not where our hearts are. If our hearts are hardened and they're not broken, then they need to be broken down by the Word of God. So brothers and sisters, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. I encourage you to ask the Lord to give you that heart that is broken and contrite. Call upon Him for His mercy and also forgiveness for those sins that you have committed against Him. And if your heart is broken right now, it's already very broken down and shattered, thanks be to God for His mercy to soften it. Know then that the Lord does not despise the sacrifice. He receives it. Come with boldness, knowing that in Christ Jesus all your sins are forgiven. Remember the words of Hebrews 8, where we're told the promises of the new covenant. When we read, the Lord says, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Amen. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that in your word we are taught what is that acceptable sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart. Lord, grant all of us in this room a heart that is broken over our sins. May we not run from the conviction that comes when we're confronted by our sins. Instead, may we mourn those sins. May we cry out for mercy. May we run to the throne of grace where our Lord Jesus stands as high priest, fully atoning for our sins and interceding on our behalf. Lord, forgive us for hardness of heart. Forgive us for not humbling ourselves when we should have. Make us be like that tax collector in Jesus' parable who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.